Welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ, and joining me again for the second time around for No Shame. You guys are actually the ones that popped the No Shame cherry, so to speak, and we've long wanted to do another round of this. I've got Mr. Craig Smith and Eric Miller from Pods and Sods. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Cheers.
We popped the cherry. That's
again.
That's pretty explicit language.
Yeah, I'll say right out of the gate. Nicely done, BJ.
Obviously, the whole No Shame concept started with you guys, but I've done a few more since. It's kind of become a running series. But since the first one, we always talked about you guys coming back and doing another one. So here we are.
It was one of our most enjoyable episodes that was not one of ours, I believe.
Yeah, in fact, I think Eric picked it as his favorite episode of your show.
You know what? I was just grateful that you played Hard to Say I'm Sorry all the way through.
Yeah, well, I remember you talked about the key change. You were raving about the key change, so I thought, well, I got to let it get to the key change. So.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I guess most of the people listening know the concept. We picked 10 songs. I mean, we've already talked about this. We're not embarrassed to admit to liking anything, but the concept is these are songs most people would be embarrassed to admit to like, especially like rock and roll or hard rock guys would not normally admit that they like Call Me Maybe or whatever, going back to the first one. And
everyone likes that song. They just don't admit it.
So this is my fifth list of 10 now.
Wow.
But, I could
DJ's working on a box set of these picks.
Yeah, No Shame box set. Yeah, that would be awesome. So I guess is that enough of an intro, you think? We've each got another list of 10 songs, and I guess we're just going to go through our lists and laugh at each other and have fun with it again, right?
Nice.
Great.
Looking forward to it.
So I guess we decided that, Eric, you're going to start us off, right? And we're just going to take turns, right, and just talk about each of our songs.
Sure. Shall we? Shall I jump in?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, my first pick... No Shame is Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway. It rings true philosophically. So to go through life, right, and you could ride along with some people for a stretch, right? It's about the journey. It's not the destination, right? And this song in particular has a whole second life because it was featured in that movie Cars. Right, so it's a good lesson to teach kids through quality music that life's about the journey, man, not the destination.
But yeah, you know, Tom Cochran, he's from Red Rider, yep. Canadian band from the 80s, Lunatic Fringe from Vision Quest. I always remember that song from Vision Quest.
Lunatic Fringe is in Vision Quest?
Yeah. My first pick, these guys are from the Bahamas, but I guess the group originally formed in London in the late 70s, and they were originally started out, they called themselves High Voltage, but in 1991 they changed the name of the group to the Baha Men. And I mean, they had a huge hit with this song, and I just think it's got a great rhythm. I love the percussive melody of this song. I mean, you guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Who let the dogs out?
Was nice, the party was bumping. And everybody having a ball.
So I guess you guys know what song I'm talking about. Who Let the Dogs Out by the Baha Men. Huge
killer
hit. I mean, kind of one of those ubiquitous songs that people probably got sick of it at some point, yeah. But
how could you?
You can't get sick of this. Timeless.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, so Craig, you're up.
Like last time, I'm going to go chronologically. This this track is from 1982. You know, sometimes, you know, the kitchen sink idea is a bad one, but this is one where it completely works. Like, just throw everything into a song. I mean, you know, there are some classics that wouldn't be what they are if they weren't so versatile. Now, you got to remember, in 1982. You're moving away from, you know, natural instruments and into synthesizers. So whereas you'd have, you know, guitar armies, it then became about synthesizer armies. So my first pick is from 1982. It's Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band. Now on the surface, you may not remember, but it's the kind of thing where after every line, and, you know, sometimes simplistic lyrics are the best, right?
Right. You don't need to overstate everything.
No, you don't. You know, right. Get up, can't come down, right. Moving round and round.
Right.
But between every line, throw in whatever patch was from the popular synthesizer at the time. This has more sound effects than, like, right. A Scooby-Doo episode.
It's like a time capsule.
It is.
It's like one of those things you would etch on the gold record and send out into space. For aliens to discover, you know what I'm talking about?
Are you saying that this isn't on that disc with the Beatles stuff?
It ought to be.
It should be.
But Blind Willie Johnson, it ought to be on there.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You can't, like BJ, I know that you go off about, like, 90s music, but, you know, there's enough people to go off about the 80s sort of synthetic music. And, you know, I'm not one for drum machines and things like that, but there's a time and place, and this is a song where Owner of a Lonely Heart, no, it's Abracadabra.
Now, this is actually one that I've kind of come around on. I've often cited it as something that I didn't particularly enjoy, and I think I just wasn't open to it. Maybe you hit an age where, you know, your tastes evolve, right?
Right.
And it's Bon Jovi's Who Says You Can't Go Home. I liked Bon Jovi. Early days Bon Jovi, pop medley Bon Jovi, hard rock. But I think I like the country elements that he introduces. And I think it's at this point where he really makes that transition in a big way, right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, again, same as Life is the Highway, it's about the message, right? We did an episode recently about Born in the USA on Pods and Sods, and I talked about Glory Days being like just the ultimate work of art to catch a feeling of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to correct myself. I think it's this song.
Right.
Who Says You Can't Go Home, right?
Decision.
you know, again, life
and
is
it's
a
an
journey.
It's an important question.
Absolutely. Life is a journey, man. Like, you know, wherever you are now, you know, you want to look back on those earlier, more romantic, nostalgic times.
Right.
Right. And
you know what? It's all right.
Right, and I defy the motherfucker that says you can't go back home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Screw them.
Right.
Yeah, that's another one that, you know, you have to be objective about. It's, I mean, you've heard, a lot of people might say, you know, I've heard that song too many times in the grocery store or whatever. But...
Can you hear it too many times, though? I hang out in the grocery store when I hear it.
Clean up on aisle 3.
I think that song was like Jon Bon Jovi coming into his own as a singer-songwriter, you know, instead of just like a hard rock guy. That's just like a serious, adult, grown-up song.
Yeah, it's like Dylan. It's a whole other plateau.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cited that that's the reason why Richie Sambora left the band. Just like John came so into his own with the writing of this song.
He couldn't keep up.
No.
How could you?
No.
Who says you can't keep up?
There's no wanted, you know, for him to do. Right. You know, all of a sudden it's just, John doesn't need him anymore. Right. He's got this.
Right.
Wanted Dead or Alive was like, you know, everybody thinks of that as like the Bon Jovi country song, but obviously this is the quintessential Bon Jovi country song.
No, right. Wanted Dead or Alive sucks.
Yeah, Wanted Dead or Alive is like, you know, in a metaphor comparing Bon Jovi country-wise, that's like Pussy Johnny Cash.
Right.
Who Says You Can't Go Home is like, you know, Jason Aldean or somebody.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
That's real country.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
that's big and rich.
This next artist holds the Guinness Book World Record for highest reverse bungee jump. This guy starred in an iconic TV show in the 80s and an iconic TV show in the 90s. Of course, I'm talking about David Hasselhoff, and I like a lot of David Hasselhoff songs, but this song is just iconic. You know, Looking for Freedom.
One morning in June, some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long. I've been looking for freedom. Still the search goes on.
It was a number one hit in Germany in 1989, and of course he performed it at the Berlin Wall on New Year's Eve of that year. And I just love the history of the song and the uplifting message. And I think David Hasselhoff is a really underrated singer, not to mention an underrated actor. So my next pick is Looking for Freedom by David Hasselhoff.
That's a good one. Did you ever see the David Hasselhoff roast on Comedy Central?
Yeah, I love all the roasts. Yeah,
did a killer version of This Is the Moment. Also came out and did, what's that song he came out singing?
Hooked on a Feeling?
Hooked on a Feeling, yeah. Great version of Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, and what you said about the Berlin Wall, you know, Baywatch historically set all these international records for syndication, right? It was the most popular show in the world at the time. So what better guy at what better point in time to literally unify the world? And what better song to do that?
Yeah. My next pick is from 1992. There are songs that are just so infectious that they will stay with you for years and years and years. What I'm speaking about is What's Up by Four Non Blondes. Such an infectious chorus. Just some would call it caterwauling. No, she nails a vocal delivery like no one's business. Obviously, incredible songwriter. She's written some Beautiful by Christina Aguilera.
Right.
A top-notch songwriter, but I think that this is the pinnacle.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you can't get much better than the Destination. You know, just the vocal inflections have inspired the way I speak.
It's bold.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of yodeling, but, you know, I think she really made yodeling work in that song.
Yeah, you know what, BJ, I'm not a big fan of the yodeling either. And when most people think of yodeling, they usually look towards like a Hocus Pocus by Focus. And that's all fine and good, and it had its place, but this is really, it's kind of bringing it into, you know, it was bringing it into the 90s in the way that it should be appreciated by, you know, that generation.
Right.
And I think that the song is beyond credible for that reason alone.
Damn good pick, Greg. So my next, I'm going just 10 years ago, a little bit more contemporary, 2006. Going back to like the 60s, right? Craig, you date a feminist, right?
I do, yeah.
Going back to the 60s, there's been a movement for equal rights amendment, Gloria Steinem, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women voting, suffrage. Women make what, 79 cents on the dollar nowadays, right?
Is that what the official?
Yep.
Okay.
But talk about feminist icons, getting it right.
Yeah.
I'm going Black Eyed Peas and My Humps.
Mm.
Why shouldn't they make 79 cents in a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
What's this equality all about?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Fergie has the right message.
Well, you're going to get paid whatever your employer thinks you're worth. And why should sex come into it at all? No, I ain't taking. We can keep on dating. I keep on demonstrating my love. Well, I guess this is as good a time as any to admit that while I've yet to make it to one of the gatherings, I am actually a closet juggalo, if you know what I mean. You know, I'm talking about Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope spitting rhymes.
You know what, brother? I raise a fago. Bitch, back up, because you dimming my shine. You got 9 kids, only 2 of them mine. I get you cigarettes, weed, Pampers, and Similac. Bitch, start giving back, fuck hitting that. Your shit loop like a bowl of soup. And every time I'm with you, I'm smelling nothing but baby poop. You got WIC, food stamps, and ADC. Why you still fucking with me, you dirty scoundrel?
Of course, I'm talking about the Insane Clown Posse. They formed in 1989. They started out as the JJ Boys because they're both named Joe. Actually, their real names are both Joe. So they were the JJ Boys. Then they became the Inner City Posse, and that's the name that morphed into Insane Clown Posse, which, I mean, you guys are big Kiss fans. I think any big Kiss fan has to like ICP.
There's no question about it.
Yeah. The similarities are just, you know, striking and obvious. Fuck my baby mama
with that baby drama. Calling me while I'm in the Bahamas with Lana and Donna. You know, BJ, you know when I became a fan? You may not know this. Eric's into wrestling. He took me to the one wrestling event that I've ever been to in my life. Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope came out, busted into the ring, threw a hubcap into the audience that nearly severed my ear.
No, but I mean the Juggalos are kind of the modern version of the Kiss Army. And, you know, Insane Clown Posse have a really cool dynamic and image going, you know, similar to Kiss. It's not a ripoff. It's their own thing. But I figured I had to come out of the closet as a Juggalo and pick an ICP song. So I went with a song I love by them called Deadbeat Moms, because all you ever hear about are deadbeat dads, right? But what about all the deadbeat moms? It's really...
Here.
there's just as many deadbeat moms. This song is a really good message, and it's really catchy. You know, I don't like a lot of rap music, but probably my favorite rap is ICP, and I just think this song is really cool.
Yeah.
And the message transcends the form, right? So it's not just that it's rap. You should have just jacked me off. He looks like me, bitch. He looks just like you. Damn. Just a piece of net for cutting some old bitch. I bought you a trailer. It wasn't enough. You met some punk and he stole your stuff. You wrecked your car. They cut up your phone. Baby mama's blowing me up. Ain't nobody home. How much money just for three kids? I got three of the hoes laying down their beds. Don't think I won't choke out all four of their faces. I got baby mamas in phenomenal places. Baby moms are chasing me, ain't no one on my side. I'm packing all my shit up and I'm taking off tonight. Craig, you're up.
Yep. You know, I would have come out with this one earlier, but since I'm going chronologically, kind of piggybacking on your country thing, Eric, 2010.
Okay.
By Jason Aldean. And it actually segues nicely from BJ's pick also, because Jason Aldean, not only an incredible country artist, an incredible rapper, as this song demonstrates. The song is Dirt Road Anthem.
Okay.
2010, compares himself to George Jones, the way he's driving around in his car.
Uh-huh.
There's a little bit of alcohol in the car, an open container. It's fine.
Right.
Who hasn't?
Right?
Yeah. You know. I mean, if you're driving around the dirt roads, can you do it without a cold brew?
I don't think so.
Right. But, I mean, and also dropping a bit of advice, you better watch out for the boys in blue.
Oh,
right.
Interesting.
Check out the video. It's maybe the song won't get you on first listen, but you watch the video, the way that it all kind of comes together,
Right. It's
monumental.
I mean, drunk driving's gotten a bad rap in this country, let's be fair.
I mean, you say that in jest. He's not saying drunk driving. He's just saying he's got a cold beer in the console. It's enough to get just a little bit of a buzz on. You're on the dirt road. You're not on the highway.
It's a bunch of bullshit. I drive fine when I'm drunk.
The dirt road's barely even a road. It's just a suggested path.
It's dirt. Right.
You're
in the fucking woods.
There's no line. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If you hit a tree, you hit a tree. It's, you know, libertarian view. You hit a tree, it's your own right to hit that tree.
Yeah.
And
just the mud tars, you know, just the accent. It's all, the song has it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that, like, the rap country crossover would have been Kid Rock. No.
Yeah.
Jason Aldean. Dirt Road Anthem. I'm turning off a real life driving. That's right. I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. And I'm feeling like $1 million. Stacked up all $100 bills. Got a whole six pack on ice. I'm riding on the hottest wheel. Seat back and I'm curving, swerving. Put my pedal to the metal like I'm racing. Turn it up and let the speaker scream for Mr. Aldean, but I call him Jason. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Yeah, my next pick. With this song, All That Glitters Is Gold. When they wrote the song, they broke the mold, and that's Smash Mouth's All Star. Oh, this is an incredible one.
Classic. I don't know if you guys like this song or not, but
it's awesome.
I have my thumb and forefinger on my forehead shaped like a W, because this motherfucker's a winner.
Yeah.
I mean, Smash Mouth had a bunch of great hits.
Walking on the Sun.
I'm a believer, shamed the Monkees version.
It did.
Right?
Underrated band. Only shooting stars break the mold. So this next group was formed by brothers Fred and Richard Fairbrass in 1989, and this song was their first single, and it was a number one hit. And it's sung from the point of view of a narcissistic male fashion model, and I don't think people realize how cleverly satirical this song is. It was a real takedown of the fashion industry at the time. Just a snarky song with a great... It's not a punk song, but it has like a punk rock attitude and really adventurous production too. So my next pick, of course, is I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. I just think...
Classic.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Well introduced too. You're right. I hadn't even thought of it in that context, but You know, I just thought it was a great song, but yeah, the way you preface it.
And I mean, it samples Hendrix. It samples a Hendrix lick in that guitar. No better song than Do It. Right.
And it doesn't sound like anything else. They just had their own original, you know, unique sound, and it was just really cool and stood out at the time.
But the thing I like about this song, there are so many other things that he could be more sexy than. Like, it leaves you wanting more. Like, by the time 4 minutes is done, you're like, he could have kept going for another 10.
I'm more sexy than a headband.
It's a bandana.
I'm too sexy. Headband?
Bandana.
But that's a good point. The list is infinite.
And that's what makes the song great. Like, there are songs that can keep building on themselves. Right. Like movie franchises.
Right.
Like, this is the Star Wars of modern music, or music for its time.
It sends the listener out into their day
right. With
the confidence that they're walking around and saying, I'm too sexy for this snowball mic.
Right.
Or I'm too sexy for this big gulp.
I'm too sexy for candles and panties.
See what I'm saying?
Like my work day.
Right. So you can carry it with you wherever you are.
Yeah.
Right. And people will love you for it.
I'm too sexy to talk to BJ.
Say it out loud.
That's right.
Don't be shy.
I'm sexy and I'm proud.
You've jumped the chasm. Don't be coy.
That's right. I'm a sexy little boy.
Far too sexy by far. And I'm too sexy for my hat. Too sexy for my hat. What you think about that? I'm a model. You know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. The catwalk, yeah, I shake my little tush on the catwalk.
Yeah, so it's a funny song, but it also has this underlying, you know, satirical aspect that just, it's a layered song, you know?
Right.
It's like the Zoolander, you know? Mm.
Zoolander took it from this. Like, if there was no Right Said Fred, there'd be no Zoolander.
Right, exactly.
It was complete ripoff of the song.
Right, true. Good point. Right. Yeah.
Zoolander might as well have just been called I'm Too Sexy.
It's true.
Yeah, I think that's another thing about Right Said Fred is people don't realize how culturally significant they were and how much they, you know, their influence carried over.
And I didn't jump off after the single like most of, you know, the public did. Like, I was even on for Deeply Dippy About the Way You Walk. Like, they kept going. So this one's going to be kind of surprising, maybe a bit controversial. This is from 2012. It is Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. Now, I know that Eric picked this on the last episode, and I gave him a major batch of shit about it.
Right.
But you can't deny it. Like, it's maybe the catchiest melody of the aught tens.
So I guess the song grew on you.
Well, yeah, it wasn't just that. It was the video too, because you know the video is you know, it says a lot about equal rights and things like that. And it, you know, there's that little twist at the end of the video, much like the Olivia Newton-John physical video,
right,
where the guys are going after the guys, and you find out that the dude outside isn't into her at all.
Right.
He's into somebody in the band. It's edgy,
right?
And so, you know, it kind of opened my eyes to listening to the song. And really, you know, there's an underlying thing there. It's not even just about, you think, you know, cute pop song.
Uh-huh.
But there's pain at the end there when she realizes that, like, the Call Me Maybe dude.
Who hasn't felt that?
Isn't even into women.
Yeah.
So, like, it's one of those songs where on the surface you think it's something completely different.
Right.
You see the video and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, this is real heartbreak because you'll never have this guy because he likes dudes.
That's my point exactly. I'm glad you came around.
Well, see, you should have worded it that way in the first episode.
Yeah, I think I said I didn't like it on that episode too, but I kind of have to admit that I've kind of grown to like the song as well.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Fuck you guys. But here's my number, so call me maybe. My next pick, since we're being forthright on evolving our tastes, Craig, with the Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I've often slagged this artist or this band, this artist, in a bunch of ways, but there's a particular song that I think it transcends pop music in a lot of ways,
yeah.
And I'm going to explain it in three ways.
Okay.
And it's Maroon 5's Payphone.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you.
So first off, it uses the F word. Do I need to say any more?
No,
right.
You can't go wrong.
Number two, it no longer limits the music business to those that have talent.
Okay.
Right?
How do you mean?
Those that are talentless are no longer oppressed from getting into the business.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it opens up music to so many more people.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right. One could say that like a James Hetfield kicked that door open a little bit. But
right.
Keep going.
And then three, even in a bigger way. And this is, you know, we've been talking about like equal rights and civil rights and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
In a huge way, this song, this artist, Adam Levine, has done more in terms of being a positive role model for douchebag Americans than anybody else. Like, he really has changed. He's the Martin Luther King Jr. of douchebags.
Yeah, I think that song was a really good example of when auto-tune can be used right.
Right.
When it can really work and, you know, make a song better.
And how many people, let's be serious about this, when heartbroken haven't thought, one more fucking love song, I'll be sick.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a line that cuts through and gets you right there. I don't expect you to care.
All right, my next song was co-written by songwriter and performer Paul Jabera. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but Paul Jabera, he was in the original runs of Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar. And so he co-wrote this song with another Paul Schaefer, who many people might not know. But before he became David Letterman's sidekick, Paul Schaefer was a part of both the SCTV and the Saturday Night Live camps. You know, so he got his start in comedy. Not that this song is comedic, really, but the song was written in 1979. It was offered to Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Cher, and Barbra Streisand, but they all turned it down, which was a big mistake. But it was finally released by a duo called the Weather Girls in 1982 in a smash hit, and I just think it's a great post-disco song. Of course, I'm talking about It's Raining Men. This song was actually kind of an important bridge, really, if you think about it, between disco and where pop music went in the 80s. So my pick is It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
A killer, killer song. I mean, yeah, you go to a wedding, right? They play this song, all the women get up. But come on, tell me you don't want to get up and start, you know, shaking your tail feather as well. Look, this is going to be a rough thing to say in front of Mr. Eric Miller.
We're all friends here.
We are, but you are a huge Queen fan, mm-hmm. as am I, mm-hmm. right? Freddie Mercury, one of the best vocalists that's ever been on this planet. You have like a George Michael, you know, you have Paul Rogers, you have that Adam fella, you know, people that tried to step into his shoes and failed,
right?
There's one person that was able to step into those shoes and make them work.
Wow.
And that's Kanye West with his performance of Bohemian Rhapsody. Now, it's a live performance. It hasn't been released.
Right.
But, I mean, it went viral immediately after it happened. And although he didn't do the entire song, it's again, you got to leave him wanting more. Like, had he gone through the whole 6 minutes and gotten up to the end, the crowd, they were already in a frenzy. Could you imagine, like, what would have happened? You know, look, you know, you can say what you want about a Kanye West, right? Very, you know, divisive and opinions about him all over the place, right? But come on, the guy knocked this one out of the park, right?
Genius. Can't deny.
You know, I just killed a man.
Gay fish.
Yes.
Genius.
Yes.
Well, yeah, when I listen to Queen, I don't want to listen to a fucking opera, right? If I want to listen to opera, I'll go listen to an opera. I think he simplified the song and just made it more palatable.
Well, it needed, you know, he did, you know, kind of perform it to the Queen backing track. I think it needed... The only thing that was lacking about it needed a little more Kanye. It needed more beats, right? Yeah. It needed more, you know, one-finger programming. Look, we have technology for a reason, right?
Right.
We have color so that we don't have to watch black and white. We have stereo so we don't have to listen to mono. We have auto-tune so we don't actually have to have people with talent.
Exactly.
Right? That's so it doesn't matter if you can sing or not.
Right.
And that's where we're going. And it should be. Everybody should be equal.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have to learn an instrument. You shouldn't have to learn how to sing or how to stay in key. So, you know, masking, it really, it's the way it should be.
Levels of playing.
That is a good point. You know, Kanye could...
It's the great melting pot of vocalism.
Yeah, he could have sung the song like Freddie Mercury if he just auto-tuned it, but he made a choice to perform it the way he performed it. And I mean, he could have done Freddie Mercury with auto-tune. Anybody could now, so...
Even without...
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, I don't even think the auto-tune's needed. I think the man's got enough talent that whatever he would do would be enough.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, he made a smart choice on the notes he couldn't hit. Just let the crowd sing it.
Yeah.
I always like that when I go to a show and they just let the crowd sing, you know, the best parts of the song.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Just killed a man, put my gun up to his head, pulled a trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had, but now,
Paramount Pictures cordially invites you to the party to end all parties.
April Fool. You are such a jerk. Is something wrong?
April Fool's Day. Get ready to party till you drop. Rated R.
This is the point in the show where the people listening might want to take a look at the date on this episode of when it was released. Obviously,
really? It took this long?
Obviously, this will work best with people actually listen to it on the day it came out. But it's going to have the date on iTunes and everywhere of the day it was released. So you'll even if you didn't listen to it on April 1st, you'll be able to see that this episode came out on April 1st, So how many people do you think made it this far without realizing that we
were? Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to be, what I want to know more so is the percentage of people that will keep listening to this episode and say, yeah, the last five were no fucking different than the five before.
Yes. Well, if you guys even want to do five more, because I've already taken up so much of your time trying to get through.
Hey, man, I want to talk about the ones I actually like.
Yeah, okay. I mean, people listening won't know, but I had to do quite an editing job on that part because you know, we had to get through all of that bullshit with a straight face.
Yeah, I think anyone listening would detect how thick we were pouring it on.
It got pretty thick.
Yeah. The stuff about Adam Levine wasn't incredibly believable.
Well, that's why he didn't lead with that one.
Right, that was my last one. I think, you know what, the one I totally believed was you in the Baja Men. I think you do like that percussion.
All right, so yeah, so the whole idea here was that we each picked tried to pick the five most ridiculous songs we could come up with and played it straight. But now, for your listening enjoyment, we have five more serious picks, which, as Craig pointed out, to a lot of people probably won't sound that different.
These are the ones we actually do like.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, so now we're going to go through five songs each that we actually truly do like, that are actual no shame picks. And yeah, of course, we could now take it to another level and just go more ridiculous and then say, oh, double April Fools.
That's right. End. Yeah, you won't know until the end.
Yeah. So I guess, Eric, you can start us off again if you want.
Sure. I don't have over the top commentary on these ones. I'll just kind of throw out the titles. My first one is Simple Minds, Don't Even Forget About Me. I goddamn love that song. You know, I didn't like it really at the time. I mean, but like as time goes on, it never goes away on the radio. And as time went on, my appreciation for it grew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
And that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, I think that one's kind of on the cusp. Like, I don't know that I would consider that a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's really like where the line is with everybody, you know?
See, I agree with that, which is why I'm putting it as a contrast to the last five as my first pick.
Fair enough.
Right? So these are real ones. And you know what? There's a drum fill in there that I always love. It's just a... Like, it's a drum fill that's in that song.
Yeah.
And that's where I first learned it.
Yeah, I know.
And then I hear it in other songs, and it's like my favorite drum fill. It's simple.
Yeah.
But it's like my favorite drum fill ever.
No, simple is, you know, if it's effective.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Well, I also love that song. In fact, it was one of my picks on the Michael Butler episode. Well, I think my first one is still pretty embarrassing, probably not that far removed from our previous five, but according to Wikipedia, Christopher John Davison is an art rock performer, which makes me think that he wrote his Wikipedia page himself. Well, it says art rock performer who also writes pop-oriented material. That totally sounds like he wrote it, because his stage name is Krista Berg.
There's nobody here.
Please don't say the lady in red.
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, just bad memories of that because my dad got married and that was his wedding song. It was just like, oh, you know, but like Krista Berg's good. Like, Don't Pay the Ferryman is fucking awesome. Don't do it. So good. But yeah, the lady in red. I'm sure it's a great song, but it just got fucking ruined by, like, you know, having an evil stepmother.
Well, it seems like everybody hates the song, but
yeah, it's just got bad memories attached for me. But it, like, the big douche chill moment of the song is that end. I love you.
Wow. Okay, so Craig, it's your turn.
Well, where to start? You know
what? What are the odds any of our five will be on anybody else's?
I don't think any five. Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna have any of mine.
I mean, you're gonna say Right Said Fred or Bob.
Oh yeah, that would be hilarious.
It's possible.
Well, this is really embarrassing, but
I don't think I mentioned this in the last in our first episode. And if I did, let me know. But I don't think I had. It's the most recent pick on my list. It's from 2011. Look, I'm not a Taylor Swift guy or any of that. Like, that kind of stuff really just kind of doesn't work for me. But this is not a Taylor Swift pick, but I'm talking about kind of pop princess shit. But there was something about this song from the first time I heard it that I fucking loved. And it's Give Your Heart a Break by Demi Lovato. This is a goddamn well-written song. Give Your Heart a Break, like, it's got a double meaning in that, right? You're looking at me like I'm still doing the fake picks. It's a great song. Don't want to break your heart. Let me give your heart a break. Like, she's flipping it around, though. Let me give your heart a break. Give your heart a break. Let me give your heart a break. Your heart a break. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have maybe two or three that you guys may not know. So I'm going to throw one of those out here now because it's probably embarrassing.
Okay.
But you're not going to know it. But it's from 2001. It's a Spice Girls solo song, and it'd be Emma Bunton.
You'd be right.
It's a song called Sunshine on a Rainy Day. Makes my soul drip, 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 drip away. Yeah. It's just light and airy and cheery. Emma Bunton on A Girl Like Me.
Baby Spice.
Sunshine on a Rainy Day was her first album. And it's a good album.
Is it?
Yeah. If you're open to that.
No, not really.
So, yeah, Emma Bunton. Sunshine on a Rainy Day.
Yeah, I don't know that song off the top of my head, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if I liked it.
There's most Americans don't. So
My next pick is a five-member vocal group that formed in 1965 as the Versatiles, but they changed their name the next year to the Fifth Dimension. And this was a medley of two songs from the musical Hair. And it went to number one in the U.S. for 6 weeks in 1969. Of course, I'm talking about Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In by Fifth Dimension, which...
I'm sorry, I have to take umbrage with this. There is nothing guilty pleasure about this. It's a fucking awesome song!
Really? Okay, yeah, sometimes it's hard to know. Sometimes it's hard to know for sure if it's a quality No Shame pick or not, but I agree. It does, you know, I don't know why anyone would think it sucks, but yeah.
No, I don't even think that's cusp. I think that's firmly on the side of that's fucking awesome. So I'm going to go with a track from 1989. You know, most people would have written this band off when it was found out that, like Adam Levine, they could not sing. However, they were lip-syncing somebody else's vocals. Yes, I'm talking about Milli Vanilli. The song is Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You.
Yeah.
Who hasn't felt that heartbreak, right? It's a tragedy for me to see the dream is over. And you know what? I never will forget the day we met, right? It's right. So good.
Like a honeybee,
you took the best of me, right? Come on.
I do remember the heartbreak of having to listen to that song.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. There's nothing bad about this.
Nothing?
No, this is a great song all the way through.
I have to listen to it again.
You just have to see it, you know, performed by the original men that sang it, which I've not. But you're wrongly...
I'm not wrapping the image into it.
No, you are, because you'd obviously appreciate the song, because I know.
Right.
There are certain things that transcend just image, and this song is one of them.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a horrible song, but I think the problem with Milli Vanilli is just the really bad, thin 80s production, the pathetic, like, Casio keyboard level instrumentation. I think that's probably what really hurts the song.
And also the really bad, thin 80s bicycle shorts.
And the best new artist is Milli Vanilli.
It's a tragedy for me to see the dream is over. And I never will forget the day we met. Girl, I'm gonna miss you.
I don't consider this one necessarily a No Shamey one, but some might. Howard Jones' first single, New Song.
Yeah, I remember that
one. Don't Crack Up.
Yep.
That one.
I like that song.
It is really synthy. Like, yeah.
It's very synthy.
If you listen to it now, it sounds like way dated. If you didn't appreciate it then, it'd be hard to...
Yeah, I liked it then.
It wouldn't be accessible now. But he's got a lot of songs like that. But this one, God, I always love that song.
I like that synth, like, riff.
Yeah.
It goes through it. That's a good one.
And the video is kind of autobiographical. And that was like his first out of the gate first single, a new song.
Like all over the place or just in America?
Everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was established and it was
the video story. Has him like working in a factory.
Yeah.
And then coming out. And that's the lyric, right? I'm coming out singing a new song, right? Mm. And that's the video that literally shows him doing that.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
I don't wanna be hip and cool.
My next song, I'm guessing you guys are going to share my fondness for this next album, but I don't know. This was the band's third album, but it was their first hit. It came out in 1991. And in my research, I saw that the first single from the album was actually Is It For Me, which is probably my favorite song from the album.
Nice.
But this was the next single, and this was the hit song, All I Want by Toad the Wet Sprocket. I love that song, and I think that's a really good album. Fear, the album's called. Are you guys fans of that?
Big time.
Yeah.
I can't say because it was Eric's last pick for our round robin. So it's on our docket to record about. So I can't reveal whether I enjoyed it or not.
Yeah. I love that record. Every song is great on that record.
Yeah, Nightingale song I love. Yeah, I think All I Want is great. Great catchy melody. And so I don't know if that's an appropriate No Shame pick or not.
Yeah, that's not No Shamey.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing so loud as hearing when we lie. Truth is not kind, and you said neither am I. And the air outside so soft, we're saying
so my next pick is a track by Kylie Minogue.
All right.
We're going back to 2001. Anybody care to guess the song?
The Locomotion.
It's not the Locomotion.
Can't Get You Out of My Head?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a fucking song that is. Like, you got na, 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 na. Like, that whole bit's good, but there's a bit before the chorus that goes into, like, a minor chord.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, it's just such a dark kind of little bit, but it makes the song.
Yeah.
Completely great song. The whole, it's one of those things where like the whole mood of the song is great.
Right. I have a hard time with that one. I completely agree. That's just one of those ones that was just way too played out for me.
See, but the thing is, like, I don't listen to radio, right. So like I heard it sparingly to begin with.
Yeah, but I agree with you.
Yeah, that is a cool song. And probably watching the video was the way to hear it.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen the video.
You never J-O'd to that
video? I would. If I had the opportunity, sure I would.
My next pick, and this is an artist I think I picked on the first list, or maybe not. I'm going to go with In Vogue, Free Your Mind.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it go. Free your mind.
That's a great goddamn song. I love all the singles from that record, and I love that song. Good message. Little guitar solo.
What's the message?
Wrote a Free Your Mind and the Rest Will Follow. It's about, you know, being open.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Sort of an anti-racism song, right? Wrote a song about it, like the here it go.
What?
That's how the video
starts.
The
fuck did you just say? I don't think so.
Wrote a song about it, like the here it go. Wow. You never heard that?
Who says that?
They say in a video, but it came from I think In Living Color.
Oh, okay.
I think David Alan Grier used to play like an old blues guy.
Yes.
Wrote a song. Yeah. Like here it go.
And okay.
Play. So they kind of put that in the video.
Okay.
What with that opening shot where it's like a chimpanzee face or something weird in the
really
video?
I don't remember that.
And of course, they all look hot in the video.
You were an In Vogue guy.
I don't know, you guys have been yelling at me about my last two. You might not like this next one either. You might not think it. I don't know. I really have no idea. I suspect you guys might like this, but I don't know. Her biggest hit was a song that I quite dislike, which was called Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. This song was on her next album, Wailer, Sophie B. Hawkins, song called As I Lay Me Down, which she wrote herself. What'd you say? You love that song?
I love this song.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It felt like springtime on this February morning. In a courtyard, birds were singing your praise. I'm still recalling things you said to make me feel all right. I carry them with me. Now as I lay me down to sleep, yes, I pray that you will hold me dear. Though I'm far away, I'll whisper your name into the sky, and I'll wake up happy.
She wrote it herself, and it was a top 10 hit, but I don't know if a lot of people know it or not. But yeah, I think it's great.
What year was this, BJ?
94.
Yeah. Wow. No, I love this song. I and you know what? I probably haven't heard the song in 20 years, but yeah. I loved it. And probably still would.
Do you know it, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
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 Again, going into the realm of current female pop, I gotta say that there's not a lot of it I follow, but the artist that I'm going to mention put out a killer album like within the last few months, and I celebrate her entire discography. I'm talking about Catherine McPhee.
Okay.
The song I picked is "Over It," infectious as all get out. Got a great chorus. One of those songs where the chorus is just so good.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed to say own all her albums, love them all.
That's so an American.
She's from America. Yeah, she's one of the ones that Eric the Midget was obsessed with.
Hello. Hi, Eric. This is Catherine McPhee. No, it's not. Goodbye.
So mine, you guys probably don't know this. It's a fun pop song from 1999, and I'm a huge fan of Maya, right? So I could go a million ways with Maya, but this one is probably one of the cheesier ones. And the reason being, it was the theme song to the Rugrats movie. So it even opens with them going, R-R-R-R-U-U-U-G. Chorus, like, it's catchy, poppy, like, has like xylophone sounds in it, and it's written and produced by Teddy Riley, and it's Take Me There. And it features Blackstreet and Mace. Remember Mace from Bad
Mace.
Boy?
Mace. I'm a fan.
Right?
I don't know if I know the song, but I worked at a record store in the late 90s, and Maya, Mace, all those names I know just because of their albums coming through the store, you know?
Yeah, I love Maya. And it's funny because she had, like, her first two or three albums, you know, they're okay. There are okay songs on there, but she never really got showcased on her own records. All her songs that were on other people's records or soundtracks and stuff were infinitely better. She did this really incredible ballad on the soundtrack to Atlantis. It's like a Diane Warren big sweeping ballad song called Where the Dream Takes
You. See, and that's the problem. Paul Stanley didn't get the good one. That's the one he should have done.
And it's great. And she knocked it out of the park. And I thought she was great on Lady Marmalade, but this is probably like the cheesiest one. Take Me There.
Bye. See the magic in your eyes. Strong enough, you know, to bring your dreams to life.
All right, well, my last pick, now this is a very appropriate No Shame pick. I know that for sure. It's even going to seem like another April Fool's song, probably.
Whoa!
And I don't like everything about this song. That's my disclaimer, I guess.
Whoa!
I shouldn't allow disclaimers on No Shame, right? Yeah, I don't like everything about it, but there are parts of the song that for some reason I like. I've always enjoyed it.
Whoa!
I don't own it or anything, but if I hear it...
Jesus Christ, this is the longest build-up ever.
He's so nervous to tell us what it
is. Whoa.
This is another TV star who made an album like you know, the genius David Hasselhoff. He was on Gimme a Break. He was in the John Candy classic Summer Rental, but his big breakout role was Blossom, was on Blossom.
Whoa.
I got it. I know it.
Yeah.
There's Nothing My Love Can't Fix For You, Baby.
Yes. Nothing My Love Can't Fix by Joey Lawrence.
Wow. I actually like this song, too. I'm not going to lie.
I don't think you know it.
It's ridiculous.
There's nothing my love can't fix for you, baby.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Pretty much the same character from Blossom as in the video, like he's just him, right? Like a flannel shirt tied around his waist.
Yeah, I used to have a shirt that had Joey Lawrence standing there with the flannel shirt tied around his waist that I got at Spencer Gifts on clearance for like a buck, and I wore it. It's gonna sound like a disclaimer too, but yeah, when I was in college, I would wear that, you know, as a joke. But I am admitting I like the song, so.
Wow. All comes full circle.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody recently about that very song, so I got it like fresh on the... I watched the video within the last like 6 months.
Really? It's one of those songs you'll hear, you know, like we were talking about in the grocery store and stuff. You'll hear the song.
That's a really good No Shame pick.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I saved it for last.
You should listen to it, Craig.
I will, when this episode comes out.
I mean, you probably... You know, it's like you wouldn't get into it now, but you might appreciate it as what it is.
Okay.
It's cute, silly.
All right, I enjoy it.
It's a much better song than you would expect when you say it's a Joey Lawrence song.
I hope so after your talk up. Good heavens, me. And this track is from 1998. It's a bit of a dance club track by Rockhell. Anybody know?
Rockhell.
No.
Rockell. The song is called In a Dream.
Okay.
Do you know it?
I don't.
In a dream, my love, you will find my heart.
No, not that.
It's one of those, like, very...
In a dream.
A long time ago.
It's not that one?
No, that's Paul Stanley.
Okay.
it was one of those, like, around the time of, like, the one that did like "Hold Me in Your Arms," like all those dancey kind of songs, all sounded the same.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one that really like hit me, and I was like, "Wow, this is just such a great song." And you know what? It also has like memories tied to it because for some reason I remember like I used to work overnights, and I would hear it on the radio when they play like long sets on the radio, and so it reminds me of like a more carefree time.
Right.
You know,
that matters.
Yeah, it does.
Like totally. For BJ with "Nothing My Love Can't Fix for Your Baby," like he remembers
his shirt, the
Teen Bop 16 posters pumps on his wall,
right? And that shirt he bought as a joke,
right?
Right. But yeah, I love this song still. I still absolutely love it.
Yeah, I wonder why. Like the shirt was white when he bought it, right?
Oh, that ain't due to age, buddy.
Why is it yellow and stiff? I don't understand with that.
All right.
All right. Well, we made it through.
All right, BJ, it was good talking to you. See you later.
Thank you guys very much for indulging me in the whole April Fool's thing.
No, thank you, BJ. It's always a pleasure to get together with you, whether it is for real or for farce.
Right. I mean, when I thought of the idea, I knew obviously that you guys would go for it and that it would be fun. So
it was lots of fun. Thank you.
If Craig were editing this episode, he'd pull out all the laughs and paste them at the end.
That would be my thing, yeah.
That thing I said about the guys from ICP spitting rhymes, that was hard to say.
The closet juggalo was bad enough, but when you started again and you said spitting rhymes, like Eric and I both looked at each other like, can he get through this? Spitting rhymes.
This is the NBC Television Network.
Today's question of the day is, what's the most important thing a pervert can give their children, a parent can give their children?
Ooh, there's a whole lot more, but right now I have to hurry over to Jemco. I'm Dancer! I'm Dancer! Son of a gun.
This is getting to be... this is getting to be a comedy.
Welcome to TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes.
Life's about the journey, man, not the destination. Right?
They were originally started out, they called themselves High Voltage, but in 1991 they changed the name of the group to the Baja Men. And I mean, they had a huge hit with this song, and I just think it's got a great rhythm. I love the percussive melody of this song. I mean, you guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Now, you got to remember, in 1982, you're moving away from, you know, natural instruments and into synthesizers. So whereas you'd have, you know, guitar armies, it then became about synthesizer armies. So my first pick is...
Almost had it.
Almost did. I looked at you. All right, I'll try to take it from the last line.
I hang out in the grocery store when I hear it.
That might have been one step too far. There's the towel. Holy shit.
Wanted Dead or Alive is like pussy ass Johnny Cash shit.
Right.
Who Says You Can't Go Home is like Keith Urban.
Oh.
Quality, legit country.
Like Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
What have you.
It's the new blood.
Post-toasties.
But what have you. Post-nasal drip.
Yeah, you know, Keith Urban, Blake Shelton, they're relevant in our mm-hmm. current musical climate, whereas Johnny Cash, that's not relevant.
Who cares about, you know, he died. Most people just know he has
to. He died!
And he, you know, he's this guy starred in an iconic TV show in the 80s and an iconic TV show in the 90s. I mean, and of course, I'm talking about David Hasselhoff.
Of course, I'm talking about David Hasselhoff.
And, you know, I'm not a huge fan. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of yodeling, but, you know, I think she really made yodeling work in that song.
Yeah. I mean, most people would look to Hocus Pocus. But...
I'm not a huge fan of yodeling. I think she really made it work in that song.
Yeah, I agree. I think when most people think of yodeling, they look to like a hocus. Yeah, ole, ole.
Anything else on what's going on?
It's called What's Up, and please What's don't up? Disparage by calling it the wrong title.
I always name it that wrong, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot better than What's Going On, you know, the Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah, that's a hunk of crap. That's right, sweet tits, just accept what it is.
You mean sugar tits?
I think he did mean sugar tits. Where are you going for?
All right, well, I guess this is as good a time as any for me to just admit that while I've yet to make it to one of the gatherings, I'm actually a closet juggalo. That did not sound convincing, did it?
But it didn't. I don't know that you'll be able to say that convincingly. I'm a closet juggalo.
I believe in miracles.
Deadbeat dad is a sexist thing. There's just as many.
He was convincing me with that reading. He didn't even take a breath for the last 30 seconds.
I just tried to get through it.
A crumpet eating bitch.
Well.
No. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Lay back, swerving like I'm George Jaynes. I'm a sexy little boy.
Jesus Christ.
Just trying to rhyme with koi. Like I'm the only one who stood in line for 4 hours to meet Snooki a few years ago.
I couldn't even tell you how I felt in that jail cell. It was like a phenomenon.
I'll be back.